Well, President Obama has made it clear that he would like to have Don't Ask, Don't Tell repealed, and Admiral Mike Mullen and Defense Secretary Robert Gates are investigating the effects of that. Now, it's a controversial military policy that says gay service members may serve but should not reveal their sexual orientation. So how much would it change in the military if this law were repealed? We're joined now by Michael Hyacinth. He served in the Navy from 1997 to 2005 in a construction battalion, reaching the rank of E5. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Yesterday on the show, we had retired Colonel David F. Beatty, who is against repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And here's what he had to say.
What most people don't understand is that the military is a pretty cloistered sort of community. Kind of like a gated community. It's a lot different than the rest of society. It's much more culturally conservative.
So that's the opinion of a 30-year Army veteran. What do you think? Is the military a lot more conservative than the society at large?
Well, I have to totally disagree with him. I think the military, in regards to the UCMJ, is probably the most diverse community that we actually have in America. So regardless of how he thinks, I think it's totally...
The UCMJ being?
The Uniform Court of Military Justice, which basically guides and governs the structure of the military.
Now he disagreed with any comparison between the racial diversity in the military and diversity which includes sexual orientation. He said those two are completely separate things.
Well, you know, it's funny that we're having this debate now with the this being Black History Month. I totally disagree. I think, you know, for American citizens and taxpayers to send, citizens to Iraq to possibly, die for their freedoms and the liberties that we back here enjoy, and then not have them freely express themselves, I think it's un-American. I think it's something which is long overdue. So I commend Admiral Mullen on his stance on this policy.
Well, I want to play you a clip that we got actually from a listener. This is Anthony from Connecticut. He also served in the military.
When I was at boot camp, they separated the males and the females and put them in their own barracks to avoid any complications of people as young as we were in our sexual prime. How do we train people who are openly gay in the military? At what expense?
What's your reaction to that, that they acknowledge the sexual nature of the attraction between men and women, but if you throw gays into that mix, that it throws out out the window?
Well, I think it's much more than just, the two different sexes. I think, women have certain needs and men have certain needs, so it's only fitting to actually to fit them in certain locations. But, it's a 21st century, military, whereas, we don't share, bathrooms anymore. I mean, basically in Iraq now you have, a particular communal that you would use by yourself. So it's, for them to make that argument, it's baseless.
You know, it's curious to me that there are so many scandals associated with the military that have to do with kind of heterosexuality out of control. Tailhook, for instance, in the Air Force. Some of the disturbing pictures from the Abu Ghraib were sort of heterosexuality gone horribly wrong. I'm just curious as to why this feels like such a hot button to certain people in the military.
Well, I believe it's a social, it's more of a social issue. You look at the ranking members within the military, the structure that they've come from, particularly, John McCain. This was a particular gentleman who was, during the 2006 campaign, he said he would listen to the troops. Now, because I guess he's, it's fitting to his party, he's repealing exactly what he said on it. So I think it's a structure. It's a mental ignorance, to be quite honest with you.
Did you serve with soldiers during your time in the Navy? Did you serve with people that you knew were gay, even though it wasn't open?
Absolutely. I mean, it's only, you can basically see it. It's right there, but it's a difficult thing, psychologically as well, for these guys to actually, do 8 to 10 month deployments in harm's way and then have to come back home on a regular military base and hide who they really are. So psychologically, I think we're definitely we're doing an injustice and in service to these members.
But did you have people in your company maybe that felt awkward about it, that were troubled over the inclusion of gay servicemen and women?
Yes, I think it's and I think that's probably going to be the biggest issue is to reintegrate the mental capacity of actually allowing these young soldiers to accept the fact that they are men and women, who proudly serve their country, that are bisexual. I think that's probably going to be the biggest obstacle.
I want to play you another clip from retired Colonel David F. Beatty, in which he kind of talks about a slippery slope.
We think, I mean, some of us believe, that the next step will be a move to extend full rights to same-sex couples. The military provides an easy place to make that happen, and what many of us think may be the consequence of that is the introduction of same-sex couples in military family housing areas.
So do you also have worries about how complicated this could become should they repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, that it will end up having a domino effect?
Well, I do believe it's going to have its logistical issues. I think, you know, you look at a ban which has been in existence for over close to two decades. It's going to have some issues. But I think it's something that the United States military, you know, have the leadership capabilities to actually put in structure, a method that benefits, you know, every American soldier. Like I said, the UCMJ in particular. I mean, you read the UCMJ, it prevents any inappropriate, you know, misconduct.
But we have had issues between men and female service members serving overseas.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, we're at the end of the day, we're all human, you know, individuals, and we, you know, no one is perfect. But I do believe that if any nation can create a structure where Americans can serve freely and proudly together, I do believe it is the United States military.
Michael Hyacinth served in the Navy from 1997 to 2005. He was the founder of Urban Liberty, an e-commerce marketing company that caters to the military.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people, by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.